inspiration that the coach leaves, I now can find to say, okay, this is what I need for this room, this type of personality, this type of teacher, this type of man of integrity. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, if the opportunity opens up next year, you know I'm calling on this man right here. He's laughing at it.
I ran into Joe B the other day.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, whatever, I'm there. Just let me know. Whatever.
Yeah, Derek would be an amazing coach because he understands the process of what it takes to be great. I've watched this man come in. Seventh round pick, right?
Fourth.
Excuse me.
Man, you gave me seventh, man. No. I take seventh if I play 15 years.
Fourth round pick. Made his way on special teams to become an all-time great receiver for the Tennessee Titans. The all-time greatest receiver, in my opinion, for our organization. And I've watched him grow and work and grind. So he brings wisdom, a process, an understanding that – these young men could use for their lives. And he understands that from the ground up. So, you know, I'm always looking not just for great talent on the football field, but also great mentors, great teachers that I can help and also give them a platform to go on to be head coaches themselves one day. So that coaching tree, now that I'm in it, I get it now. I understand it's important that you help everybody achieve their dreams and goals and aspirations.
Last thing, how do you find dog and kid? Like you had it, D-Mace had it, Steve had it. I mean, how do you find those kids? Because talent is one thing, but you also got to have that little oomph in you, right?
Yeah.
It's probably in your DNA. It's how you're wired, I guess. I don't know if you can coach that.
All right, what you do is.
How do you find it?
You get a couple bags, right? You create a boundary, two bags. You have a kid lay on his back with a ball in his hand. On one end, you have another kid lay on the back with no ball on the other end. You blow a whistle, they both get up, and you meet. And that's called the threshing floor, where you separate the men, the basketball players from the football players. That's where you find the dog. It's real simple. You find out right there in those type of drills. You know, you find out in a 9-on-7. You find out in a 1-on-1, you know, DBs versus wide receivers. I mean, that's where you find it.
You find it in this heat.
In this heat when you're grinding, you're working. You're going to find out during the dog days of summer. So that's where you find out. Recruiting-wise, you know, you don't find out in conversation.
You can't really tell.
You can, but you can't.
Really?
But
okay.
You're not until you're put in adverse situations that – you're going to find out who you are, and that's where you find out who the dog is. I mean, you know, recruiting is 50-50.
Yeah.
It's you never know. You see a guy that has the height, the weight, the speed, the this, the that, but you put him in this heat, and you ask him to go for another round, you know, after being hit 50 times, you know, how's he going to respond? You know, you never know until you're in those situations.
Yeah. In the living room, he's Tarzan.
Oh,
out
yeah.
on the field, he may be Jane.
Right, right, right.
We know
we know some strong Jane, so you got to be politically correct. You got to be politically correct in this down day. I want you to get in trouble now. There's some strong women out there that put Tarzan down.
There's a couple that can back you up. Yeah, you know. Hit you with the elbow and then, you know, go win.
No question.
Eddie, good to see you. Thanks for coming out.
You kicking me off now?
Whoa. I mean,
okay.
I mean, we can go for it. Hey, it's up to you.
What else do I have, Nick? Do I have anything else? I guess we're good.
Is he good on time? All right. Let's step away and pay D-Mace's salary. We'll come right back.
Let's do it.
With Eddie George on the other side here on the DDC. ESPN 102.5, The Game, 106.3, and The Game Nashville out. Back here on the DDC on this beautiful, hot Wednesday. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason here at Fordyce Center in Antioch. Eddie George taking pictures with the kids. Boys and Girls Club, Tennessee, raising money for a great cause. They've been out here all day having a blast. Willie Donicus in the cornfields in Iowa, the Field of Dreams. In fact, Willie, since Eddie was kind enough to hang over for another segment, why don't you fire a question or two at him.
All right. Yeah. Eddie, greetings from where they say go the distance, right? The Field of Dreams. Have you seen Field of Dreams?
I have. I love that movie.
Well, nothing has changed. If you ever see it live, it looks exactly the same. It is really amazing.
Did they all come? Are they all there?
People have come. I came. A lot of the parents came. Yeah.
Nice.
It's really cool. So, Eddie, I just in sitting back and listening to you talk about coaching, I think we all know you well enough. We knew you were going to love that part of it. I mean, you have such enthusiasm talking about, you know, motivating your guys and finding the right guys for you. I'm curious, after a year of it, right, there's so much more that goes into coaching besides the fun part of being on the field with your guys. What do you think of that part of it after a year? Is it worth it, the balance, and with the good part, with all of the things that go into managing a program?
Listen, it's a grind. I mean, there's no question about it. Like, away from the field, the fundraising efforts, trying to move the needle with facilities and get people interested, all of the business side, it's daunting, it's overwhelming, and it can take a lot of your energy. But when I think about my purpose and I think about, you know, the mission statement that I have in my desk, is I'm serving the young men and women on that floor, and I'm serving those young boys, and I treat them as if they're my own sons. And when I see them grow, when I'm seeing them grow before my very eyes, that's all that's there. It overrides everything else in terms of all the BS, all the stuff that doesn't work, and you can find anything to complain about there. But when I see them get it and them grow from it and learn from it and we overcome it, it's gratifying. It truly is. So that's what I enjoy. You know, I'm seeing guys physically transform, but also transform mentally and emotionally into men, and being held to a high standard and seeing them buy into the culture. You know, a year ago, we're telling kids, hey, you run to every drill. You run on and off the football field. Now they're saying it to the young freshmen that have come in and to the grad students, this is how we do things. I don't have to say it anymore. And that's happened, you know, in over a year. So that to me is more fulfilling than anything else. It supersedes all the frustrations that you deal with from an administrative standpoint.
Tennessee State and a lot of schools in that league, at that level, it's been a landing spot for transfers going way, way back before this madness of the transfer portal that we see now. How do you see it working to Tennessee State's advantage going forward here? Now that so many kids go into that portal, and I think they probably go in with one line of thinking, and then they get there, and they're not exactly sure what is going to happen here. But I would imagine there's some of the right guys that end up coming your way.
Well, you know, for us personally, everybody's different. There are certain criteria that you have to have in terms of being able to get guys in and so forth. There's an APR number that we have to be conscious of. There's so much that you have to be aware of when you're bringing guys in. So we've had to pick right. You know, we just couldn't get rid of half of our roster and bring in new kids. You know, we have to do our due diligence on them. You got to, you know, look at why they're in the portal. They're in the portal for a reason. You know, either for an opportunity, or they're running away from competition, or they didn't cut it somewhere else. I mean, they're in there for a reason. So we've looked at it as if, you know, what are they, the ingredient that we're looking for our program? Do they fit that? You know, can they run? Can they bend? Are they of good character? Did they make a mistake? Let's look into that mistake, you know, and see if this is, an opportunity for them to redeem themselves and so forth. Because I think guys deserve a second chance. And in this navigating that recruiting world, we've had to really be thoughtful about who we're bringing in and pick out pieces, not just look at the portal and say, okay, he came from West Virginia or he came from UT, so let's get this kid. No, last year, two of our best players came from Division II schools. Mm. And they were all conference for us last year. They come in a little shorter, maybe a step slower, but the tenacity that you're looking for and the hunger, that's what you're looking for. So I think every day that we're in there, we're learning as a staff. I'm learning as a head coach to say, okay, we maybe need to think about how we recruit in the portal a little bit differently. It's much like free agency. If you have a need for a player right now that's going to be a day one starter, then we'll look for that. And we'll look for depth. But for the most part, I'm in the business of developing talent. You know, and the portal, I don't believe in just building a team through portal. I believe in building a team through development. And that's what we're on the pace of doing at this point in time.
It was well documented, kind of Derrick Henry, his turnaround and the conversation that you had. You were a guy, and D-May certainly knows this, and Willie knows it as well. I mean, the carries that you got, the pounding that you took, and the numbers that you put up, the season when you had to deal with turf toe.
Yeah.
And you kept playing, but you had to, you're playing through it, and you went through that. Derrick Henry has now experienced his first Jones fracture, first big injury.
Yeah.
And now everybody's got the questions of, you know, is he going to be the same? I mean, you know, you got asked all this stuff. Is Eddie going to be the same?
Yeah.
Eddie, how do you think he's going to handle that, and what would you say to him if you could, if he was going?
Hey,
why is everybody asking these questions?
Well, I mean, that's just part of the business. I mean, that's the nature of it. You know, personally, I don't think Derek got enough credit for being a 2,000-yard rusher the year that he did it. I mean, he was having a heck of a year last year. He was going to obliterate Eric Dickerson's record at some point in time prior to that. But that's the nature of the business. It's always, what have you done for me lately? And I think he's going about it the right way. He's keeping a, you know, a low profile, going about his work like he's always done. And you got to understand this about Derek is that he's still relatively a young running back in terms of carries. You know, his first 2 years, he was
light
time.
Yeah.
Then he had a 1,000-yard season, 1,500-yard season, a 2,000-yard season, and 900 last year. So that's 4 years.